You've joined us second week into a new series that we're doing called Names, the Names of God. And the reason we're unpacking this series is I want us all to walk away with more confidence in the God that we serve. More confidence. I hope today's message is a real encouragement to each and every one of you here when we start to unpack another name of God. And you know, sometimes we think that God, when we say, oh, that's God, it's very two-dimensional, isn't it? It's like, dear God, and we kind of could picture some man on a cloud or some kind of spiritual being that might answer our prayer or whatever. But God is so much more than that. And throughout the scriptures, he's given many different names by the Hebrew people, by the Jewish Israelite people. Different names throughout scriptures. And unfortunately, our English kind of just says God. And we don't get the full richness of these names within the scripture. Last week, I talked about Jehovah Shalom. Beck mentioned it at the end of that worship. The Prince of Peace, Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. And that's a beautiful thing to know that when we need, you know, peace in our life, we know exactly where to go. And that's directly back to God. And maybe you're here for the first time today and you're like, Jehovah Shalom, I thought you Christians worship Jesus. Like, what the heck are you talking about? Isn't it Jesus you follow? Because it can get a little bit confusing, can't it? Well, the reality is that Jesus is God's only son. And through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, he made a way for us to be back in relationship with God the Father. Okay? Through Jesus, we have a way to return back to the way God intended us to live right from the beginning. Right from the beginning when God was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You see, God's intent was to be in a relationship with you. He wanted to have conversation with you. He loves his creation. He loves you. And we read about this in Genesis 3:8, how close the relationship was before Adam and Eve ate the fruit. It says this, and they heard the sound of the Lord of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? This is directly after Adam and Eve have eaten the fruit of the tree of life, the tree of good and evil and of knowledge. And so what happens after that moment? Obviously, their sin separates them from God. But God's intent was always for us to be able to return to that. And the good news is because of what Jesus did on the cross through his resurrection, we have access back into Eden, back into the relationship with God the Father. And we're going to have a look at some names of God the Father, this God that we serve. And there's so many different names. And as I've delved into this over this week, I must admit, it can get a little bit confusing. And sometimes when we give God a different name, we think, oh, is it a bit like Greek mythology where there's all these different gods? You know, there's a god of the sea, a god of the sky, a god of the land, and there's all these different gods. The reality is we follow that Hebrew God who is one God above everything. One God, one name, one thing above everything. The problem is, though, we have these different names. And as I've read and looked into these names, I kept coming across this example of how to explain this in regards to the different names. And this example has really highlighted and given me clarity, and I want to share it. If you see a kid or a child meet a dog for the first time when they're a little kid, they might go, doggy, puppy, doggy, doggy, puppy, right? The same dog, though, as that kid gets older, they might say, oh, that's a Labrador or that's a poodle. The same dog with a different name. But as the relationship goes on, that dog actually might be that individual's child's dog that has a name that they give it. And then later on in life, you never know, right down the track, that young man or young woman that owns the dog might actually say, that's my best friend. Different names because of the different relationship built with the same dog, okay? And so God's names come about because of different relationship that's been formed with God the Father. And so we see this throughout the Old Testament, throughout Scripture. This Hebrew God garners different names, an extension to who he is because of his characteristics and what he does and who he is to us. And today we're going to have a look at a name that's incredibly powerful, Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. The first time in the scripture it mentions Jehovah Elohim is actually the very first verse of the Bible. You'll read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, who is Yahweh or Jehovah, the same name, it's just the English version of Yahweh, Jehovah. It says, in the beginning God, Jehovah Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now, Elohim is actually a plural word. It's not just a singular God. So you're like, you said there's one God. But this is actually how we get the idea of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all being the same God. Because we know that these different aspects of God, the Spirit that was hovering over the earth, as well as Jesus the Son, claimed to be God later on. And we find in John 1:1, it says this, in the beginning, this is what it says, in the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus. And the Word was with Jehovah Elohim, and the Word was Jehovah Elohim. That's in John 1:1. That's how we get to this place of understanding this Trinity. Elohim is a Hebrew word for God. Jehovah and Yahweh, as I mentioned, refers to the one who began it all, that Hebrew God. In fact, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, was always known as the creator of the heavens and the earth. It says it in Genesis. He separated light from darkness, water from the dry land, night from day. The ancient name Jehovah Elohim for God expresses this idea of God's creative power as well as his authority and his sovereignty over everything. Other interpretations of Jehovah Elohim are creator, strength, and might. But here's the thing. The word Elohim in itself is not always just connected to the Hebrew God. It had to be Jehovah Elohim to understand we're talking about the Hebrew God. Who knows, there's a whole bunch of other gods out there, right? And so they come under names. So sometimes people go, well, I just pray to God. Which God? Jehovah Elohim is where the power is. And see, the thing is, the Elohim are actually the spiritual beings that exist. Because sometimes we forget, don't we? In the year 2022, we forget that there's more going on right now than you can see. There is a spiritual realm at work. There are angels, there are demons. There is stuff going on behind the scenes that we cannot see. And even Paul writes about this just to clearly highlight to us. He says this, finally, this is in Ephesians 6:10-12. He says, finally, be strong in Jehovah the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, so that you can take your stand against Satan's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Other passages highlight that there's so much more going on than just that you see right now. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Jehovah Elohim for pulling down strongholds. Psalm 95:3-7 says, for the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. This is this idea of a creator. And his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our Jehovah Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then finally, 1 Kings 22:19, it says, Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, Yahweh or Jehovah Elohim. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. The spiritual world is real. It's throughout Scripture. And I've got to tell you right now, I've grown up. I've seen things in my life. In fact, I just want to say I've got my mum and my dad here today. So I want to give it up for them. And growing up with mum and dad, dad has a photo from in his late teen years where he was worshiping around a fire. And this photo was up in his office. I should have contacted you before this preach and said, can you bring it? But there's this beautiful picture that they were spending time in worship. A photo was taken, and behind this fire in this dark space is this massive flaming wings. You can see it there. And I remember all my life I've gone, there's no doubt that is an angel in the presence of this worship. Not only that, I've actually spoken in a prison. A few years ago, I spoke in the juvenile prison in Waco. And I remember getting a call from the chaplain that got me in. I was preaching in the prison. And the chaplain called me that afternoon. He said, as the security guard wants to talk to you, he saw something. Can he call you? And I'm like, okay. And this guy calls me up a couple of hours later, gets my number. He goes, hey, is this the short guy that was speaking in the jail? It's like, yes, that is the hobbit you're after, okay? But he goes, mate, does that always happen when you speak? And I said, what happened? He said, I know that a bunch of the prisoners, those who were in there, these juvenile youth, they saw it, I saw it. You started to speak, and a full figure of light stood out behind you, put his hand on your shoulder, 6 foot tall, and none of us could focus because we were focusing on it. There is so much more going on. Did I see it? No, I feel ripped off. Remember, I was driving back from Harvey Bay. I'm in the car. I'm like, Lord, show me. Light up the sky. But this guy, he was blown away. He's like, does that happen all the time? I know we've been chatting with all these juveniles. They're talking about it. What the heck was that? And I'm like, I just know that God is doing his thing. The Elohim, the spiritual world, it's out there. It's doing its thing constantly. We are in the presence of Elohim right now. He is with us right now. When we talk about Jehovah Elohim, Elohim is talked about throughout the scriptures. Elohim is mentioned 2,500 times in the scriptures. We just see the word God. Not only is it used 2,500 times, it's mentioned like with this powerful Jehovah Elohim multiple times. He is the one and true God. He is the God of gods, the highest of all. As followers of Jehovah Elohim, we can walk in confidence that we have the creator of the universe on our side. And my prayer today is that if you do nothing else, you will walk away with a new confidence that God is for you. He's got your back. He is going to do his work, but he's going to do work on your behalf when you pray to him. I hope you get a revelation, a shift from just God to Jehovah Elohim in your daily life. I know that for myself, sometimes I can just pray very like, hey, God, like I'm a conversationalist. When I get in the car, I don't go, dear God. I don't like write a letter to God with my prayers. Dear God, today, I'm very much like, hey, God, this is going on in my life. But as I was doing this research, I felt this kind of conviction to pray, hey, Jehovah Elohim. The reason for it, instead of just going, hey, God, I'm actually saying, hey, almighty, all-powerful, you who created the heavens and the earth, you spoke things into being. God, I pray that you would move on my behalf, Jehovah Elohim. All of a sudden, there's this weight and authority with that declaration. In fact, throughout the scriptures, Jehovah Elohim is mentioned multiple times. Jehovah Elohim is mentioned. It sends chills down the spines of the enemies of the Israelites because they know that this Hebrew God is different. They know that there, you don't want to mess with that God. And I actually want to look at a story today. Last week we talked about Gideon. Who did your homework? Read Judges 6 to 8. Put up your hand if you did your homework. Okay, 5 of you, great. Okay, good. But for those who did, we talked about Gideon and how that's where we find Jehovah Shalom. The moment where God says to Gideon, Gideon, you surely will not die. You're going to take down the Midianites, you're under oppression, you're in a war, but I'm going to equip you to do my work. And he says, you will not die. And that's where Gideon declares, Jehovah Shalom, you are my peace. But in chapter 7, we actually find Jehovah again with this idea of Elohim. And I want to read this, Judges 7, okay? This is what happens after Gideon has finally agreed to God, okay, I'll do your work. Okay, he's done a few tests. You would have read that if you read Judges 6 to 8. Do it again this week, okay? And so it says this, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, this is Gideon. Remember the people hated Gideon because he tore down their idols and they said, you oppose Baal. That's why I call him Jerubbaal. And all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands or Israel will boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Don't you love that? Gideon's finally agreed to take some men with him to do God's work. He's already outnumbered. And then God goes, you got too many men, Gideon. If you win this battle, you'll all boast and say, we did it. And you won't give me any credit. So we've got to get rid of some men. It's about Gideon going, we'll give you some credit. Seriously. I promise. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. Two-thirds were like, we're scared, we're out. You got 10,000 left. And then it says, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the river, down to the water, and I will thin them out for you. I just love that this Gideon's like, don't do that. Don't thin them out. We've only got 22,000 of gold. You've already thinned them out. God's like, no, we need to thin them out. And God says, if I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. So he's pretty much said, hey, some will kneel down at the water. They'll just drink straight out of the water. Others will pick it up and lap out like a dog, okay? And he goes, go do that and let's watch this. And then he says, and then it says, 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that have lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. You want to leave the guys that act like dogs? Like, literally, I mean, I'd be like, what about, send home the 300, we'll keep the other ones, right? 9,700, not bad, not bad. And God's like, no, 300, that's all you need. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in a valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. I love instantly it says, so he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. If you're freaking out, Gideon, go down to the camp. I'm off, okay? I'm going to the camp. He's still like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. I've only got 300 men. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand of the seashore. It's a lot of people. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. The friend said, I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God, by the way, the interpretation of God in this moment, he says God is actually Jehovah Elohim, right? So he's saying the Hebrew God, right? He says the Hebrew God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard this dream and the interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. The story goes that these Midianites, and I'm going to fast track for you down there, Jackson. The story goes that he goes down with his 300 men. They blow some horns, some trumpets. They scream out for the Lord and Gideon. And what happens is the Midianites freak out so much in the middle of the night, they get up so terrified, they start stabbing each other and the whole army falls. We talked about Jehovah Elohim being a creative God. Man, sometimes in your life, you can't see a way out, but Jehovah Elohim has it covered. Yeah. Jehovah Elohim has it covered. I love that Gideon is scared until he hears his enemy whisper and utter the name Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, the Hebrew God, is going to take us down. And it gives Gideon the strength to go back to his men and say, let's go, boys. God's going to do something. God is going to show up. The truth is, for each and every one of you sitting here today, if you have God on your side, you are victorious. You can enter into whatever situation with Jehovah Elohim, and he will be for you. He is victorious. You know, it's so interesting that throughout the scripture, there's time and time again where Elohim is brought up. Sometimes kings actually take on the name Elohim because they think they are God, okay? So they start calling themselves God. And there's this really interesting story in the book of Daniel chapter 6. Once again, that'll be your homework for this week, Daniel chapter 6. Really interesting story. There's this Hebrew guy named Daniel who worships Jehovah Elohim. He's actually in the top three leaders of the nation at the time. And there's two other leaders that don't like him because of this, because they worship other gods. And the two others conspire and come to the king and convince the king that he is a god. And says to the king, hey, king, you need to write a decree that pretty much says everyone needs to bow down and worship you and they can't worship any other gods because you deserve that kind of honor and praise. And the king kind of sits and listens and goes, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Oh, I think that's a great idea, and signs off on it. Then these guys come back to the king and say, hey, we discovered that Daniel has been worshipping Jehovah Elohim, another god. You said everyone who doesn't worship you will die. He needs to die in the lion's den. And it's so interesting, in verse 14, it picks up when the king hears this, and I want you to understand what goes on. It says, then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, because he loved Daniel. He couldn't believe what he'd done. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by the agreement to the king and said to the king, now, O king, that it's actually the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. So they actually put a little, you know, a little bit of detail in the contract saying, by the way, king, once you sign this, you can't change it. And he's like, yeah, okay. And now he has to kill Daniel. So then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God Jehovah Elohim, this is what he's saying, may your God Jehovah Elohim, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went into haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish, because he's like, he's dead. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, Jehovah Elohim, has your God whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God, Jehovah Elohim, sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I have been found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Then it says the king was exceedingly glad. He frees him. You can go read this story. Then they get the guys that actually conspired against him. They throw them into the lion's den, and it says that the lions just tore them to shreds, broke their bones. Really lovely bedtime story, okay, for you with kids. Okay, great. You can read that in your own time. But what's fascinating in verse 25, it says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all of the earth. So King Darius is well known, and he literally contacts everyone he knows, the ultimate evangelist, okay? And he says, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before Jehovah Elohim of Daniel, the God of gods. And he claims this. He says, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And it says, so then Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a great story for Daniel to trust in his Jehovah Elohim, to be set free, not to give up, not to let go of the truth that Jehovah Elohim saves. I love that Daniel didn't waver even until death, because he was that confident. Even until death, he was that confident. The response of those that experienced Jehovah Elohim in the lives of those that follow him, they start declaring how powerful God is, because they see it on people's lives. And we saw that in verse 26. The king praises this Hebrew God and tells everyone, you need to praise them too. The God the Hebrews followed is the same God we follow today. He is the God over all things, the one true God. And as I've been praying with a sense of God's power this week, Jehovah Elohim is the only God that can speak things into being as well. He's creative. You know, maybe you're in a situation today and you're like, God, where are you? Unless you come through God, I got nothing. That's a perfect position to be in for Jehovah Elohim, because he spoke it into being. He spoke it into being. I want you to declare who you follow this week. I want you to declare with faith who you follow this week. You follow Jehovah Elohim. He is great and mighty. He's above everything and every circumstance and every situation. May your faith come alive this week. I love it when we read about these Bible characters who actually get who Jehovah Elohim is, and they do not falter. They do not falter. One of the most famous passages in Scripture is the story of David and Goliath. You know the story. David's a shepherd boy. He rocks up. the armies have come up against the Philistines. Goliath's there taunting the Israelites. Send out your best warrior. David rocks up and he's like, what the heck is wrong with you boys? Don't you know who you follow? Jehovah Elohim. Don't you understand how powerful he is? This Jehovah Elohim has rescued me from the bear, the lion. There is no way in my own strength could I have done that. But when God's on my side, nothing can be against me. And David calls this out in this powerful passage. He talks to Goliath. He says this. David told the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh or Jehovah, the Elohim of the army of Israel, whom you have insulted. Today, Jehovah will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. And this day, I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know that Israel has a Jehovah Elohim. Then everyone gathered here will know that Jehovah can save without a sword or spear, because Jehovah determines every battle's outcome. He will hand all of you over to us. When the Philistine moved closer in order to attack, David quickly ran towards the opposing battle line to attack the Philistine. Then David reached into his bag, took out a stone, hurled it with his sling, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into Goliath's forehead, and he fell to the ground on his face. So using only a sling and a stone, David proved to be stronger than the Philistine. David struck down and killed the Philistine, even though David didn't have a sword in his hand. David ran and stood over the Philistine. He took Goliath's sword, pulled it out of its sheath, and made certain the Philistine was dead by cutting off his head. Just making sure, better cut off his head. When the Philistines saw their hero had been killed, they fled. David knew who his God was. He declared who God was, and God came through in a mighty way. He declared Jehovah Elohim. And if you come in here today and you feel like you're under attack, maybe there's stuff going on in your life, you are hitting battles day in, day out, you feel like you're under it, get this, I've got good news for you. If you follow Jesus Christ, if you accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again 3 days later, you've made a decision to follow Jesus all the days of your life, you now have access to Jehovah Elohim. You have access back to the Father. You have access back to the Father. He is for you, not against you. You have the almighty, powerful God that created the heavens and earth on your side. It is unfair for everyone else. In Romans 8, it says this, if God, Jehovah Elohim, is for us, who can be against us? This week, I want us to walk in confidence. And maybe you're thinking, well, hang on a minute. As I thought that we pray in Jesus' name, and what's that? Is Jesus' name powerful? And should I be praying to Jehovah Elohim? Remember, they're all one and the same, the Trinity, right? However, what's fascinating is Jehovah Elohim did something once Jesus was risen again. This is really powerful. In Philippians 2, we read in verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He's talking about Jesus. Therefore God, Jehovah Elohim, has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of Jehovah Elohim, the Father. Jehovah Elohim. He bestowed upon Jesus the name above all names. You can go in authority this week. You can go in authority this week. Maybe you've never, ever surrendered to Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, every knee will bow. Some will choose to bow right now and follow Jesus until that time. Others will not choose, but they will bow. And each and every one of us has to make that decision. Will I choose to follow Jesus or not? Will I choose to be fighting a battle with God on my side, or am I going to try and do this alone? I know what I'm doing. If he's for me, nothing can be against me, no matter my circumstance. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.